Amen. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. You know I say it just about every time, but every time we do communion, we're just truly blessed to come together and worship the Lord and just take communion together, lift up our voices. So to begin with, go ahead and find in your Bibles the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to continue in this chapter to look at the Apostle Paul's concluding call or heart cry to this church family that he loved in verses 1 through 5. Go ahead and grab your outlines, follow along. Helps you just kind of go along there, put some things in your outline to see. So when you've found your place in your Bible and you've got your outline and you're ready to hear the truth of God's Word, go ahead and look up here so I kind of know that we found our place in the Bible, whether it's on your phone or on a tablet or in a book or all those kind of things. And we're ready to go and listen to God's truth preached and taught and for us to apply to our life. They're ready to hear the truth of God's Word. Chapter 3 is the rest of what the Apostle Paul wanted to communicate to the church family. He's already communicated a lot. We've been covering chapter 1 and 2 and then the previous letter. A lot that's very impactful truth. Now he's concluding these final exhortations, and what he wanted to communicate comes from a heart of one that loves them, that cares for their very best for them. We all know that. We've talked about it some. We'll look at it a little bit today. But in verses 1 through 5, Paul tells them four very important principles to living the Christian life, something a pastor would want the church family to know, a dad leading his home would want their children to know. It's that kind of thing. It's a heart, cry of the heart to this church family in Paul's love for them. And he calls them, we looked at two of them, to pray for the gospel and Christian living to spread rapidly. The last week was to trust in the Lord, and now today will be to obey God's word. And the last one will be and to love, to know God's love for them and to love others with that love. Let's go ahead and read our text, and then we'll just cover briefly the first two that we've already talked about, and then we'll dig in and unfold the third principle or call that Paul has. Look at the text with me, chapter 3, verse is 1 through 5. Paul writes, "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord would spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we would be rescued from perverse and evil men. For not all have faith, but the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we've commanded, or what we command. And may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the steadfastness of Christ." Wonderful little passage, just a heart cry of the Apostle Paul to this church. We looked at the first two. The more I read that, the more I just, you know, as I go and I've studied, the more I read that, the more I understand and hear Paul's heart behind those words. And I hope that way it's for you as we study it and as we talk about it, that you, as we dig into this passage, first that we understood that he called this church to pray. And we saw it like this, it's in your outline, church pray that God would use our efforts to share Christ and the life that follows in salvation, and that it would spread rapidly and be glorified, and also that the Lord would rescue us from those that oppose the true gospel and Christianity. That's how it applied to us. And we talked about all of that the church would pray, and they prayed that God would use our efforts to spread the gospel, to spread Christian life, and that God would protect us from those that oppose it. And then secondly, we understood from last week his heart cry to trust, saying in your outline there, church, if you suffer in your efforts to share Christ and live for Christ, recognizing that even though we pray about being protected, pray about being guarded, those kind of things from those that oppose the gospel, that in God's providence and God's sovereignty, he allows those things to come into life. We looked at all that. So it's if you suffer in your efforts to share Christ and live for Christ, trust in God's sovereignty, for the Lord is faithful. He will strengthen you. He will strengthen your faith. He'll be with you all the way through it, and he'll protect your salvation. The enemy can't have you, can't have your salvation, your eternal hope. So it was trust in the Lord. It's very impactful, very, very relative to our life as we were looking at all of this. Now, as we come to the third heart cry from the Apostle Paul, turn your outline over. I just kind of gave you that review in the front. We're going to look at this one, to obey. This is what Paul moves to next, and this is important for us to understand, but it's very simple. It's a simple call to obey God's word or to continue to do so. or begin to obey God's word, or even come back to obedience. It kind of incorporates all of that. Not kind of, it does. And so if you're here today and obedience is an issue and that's a struggle in your life, which each and every one of us in our walk with the Lord, that can be and will be in those things in life, this is a call we all need to hear. This is a call from the Word of God to obey His Word, to continue to obey His Word, come back to obedience, to begin to obey, like Pastor Brent encouraged us in communion today. If you haven't put your faith in Christ, well, do you know the gospel is a command to obey? That's what it is. It's a command of God. Right? The kingdom of God is here. Repent and believe. Those aren't suggestions. Those are commands. He calls out to you, called out to me, called out to us, those things. So let me ask you, how many of you in this room, out of love, would give of your life, out of love, you would impart your own life for those in your life to obey the word of God? How many of you would do that? I got a couple of hands. How many of you would do that? Just simple call to obey, and this is what it's coming from, but it's from the heart of Paul, and it's a call to obey the word of God. How many of us would impart our lives, give away our lives with the people in our life, just give of ourselves to encourage or whatever it might be and how God would use it to have others obey the word of God? That's the point that we want to look at today, the thing we want to grasp hold of. You would give of yourself so others would be obedient to God's word, wouldn't you? You understand the value? You understand the importance? You understand the reality of all that? All of you would do that. You know why? All of us know that being obedient to God's word is the very path of life, isn't it? It's been given to us by the God of the universe through faith in Christ. He's given us to walk this path, and we know that there's no doubt that this path that he's given us is to obey God's word. We all know that to be true. You know, we talked about it last week, but if you look back with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8, look back with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. Here's the heart of Paul toward them. He said this: having so fond affection for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but our very own lives, because you had become very dear to us. And then he writes this part that we're talking about. He gave away his life because they became very dear to him. Fond affection. He loved them. And his compadres loved them too. There's companions that were there. They loved him. That fond affection, that love that imparts your very own life for the sake of others' relationship with the Lord is real. Isn't it real? Mother's Day's next week. Mothers, isn't it real? You have it, I have it, we have it. You have this love from God that will give of yourself for others to know Christ, to walk with Christ. I want you to think about it a moment. You have it for your spouse. You have it for your children. You have it for your grandchildren. You have it for your extended family, immediate family, friends, neighbors, coworkers. It's in you. It's from the life of God. You have a love that gives of itself for others to know Christ and to love Christ. You have it for the church family. This is true, right? This is what God in our salvation gave to us. We have that. We just finished up Wednesday night ministry for 31 weeks. You watched and participated in this fond affection and this love giving of itself for others' relationship with the Lord. Didn't you see all of that? Week in and week out, the Wednesday night ministry, people giving of themselves, loving affection, giving of themselves for others to know Christ, for others to walk with Christ. It's really remarkable to see this love in action. And we will express this love of giving of ourselves for all those who attend VBS this year, because that's Christianity. That's the life that God has called us to walk. This is the life that we're to live. And it's tied to being obedient to God's word and desiring others to be obedient to God's word. So that's when we're looking at this third point, that's Paul's heart cry, isn't it, here? That's what he's talking about. And we all know that being obedient to God's word is the path of life. We also know, all of us do, to be disobedient to God's word, to not walk God's way for us, leads only to ruin. Does anyone disagree with that? If you know God, you know the truth of God's word, you know the reality of what salvation is and what sin is, and if you know the truth of all of that, we all know that the path of life that God has given us to walk is obedient to his word. We're not always obedient. We're working on obedience. I get all of that, but we all know that the path to ruin is disobedience to the word of God. It always will be. It always is. Nobody's proven God wrong. Some people try really hard, but nobody's proven God wrong. Now, as you look at verse 4 of our text, let's look at it a moment. And like I said, it's just a simple call or heart cry. Verse 4 of our text, Paul says this: "We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we have commanded." That's such a great statement, isn't it? Think about it for a moment. Listen to the word again. Listen to God's word. He's talking about them praying. He's talking about that the Lord is faithful to trust the Lord. And then he says, "We have confidence in the Lord concerning you, that you are doing and will continue to do what we command." Pretty good not to say, "We have confidence in you that you'll do what God has commanded." We have confidence in the Lord concerning you that you will continually do. You'll continue. What Paul commands is the word of God, right? Right? He's able to write it. He's writing the New Testament. What he commands is what the word of God says. And so he says, "My confidence is in the Lord that you'll continually obey God's word." I was talking to a young lady yesterday, and she's struggling with some things, and I was in this passage, and it's on my heart and mind, and you know, their relationships are hard, and not sure if the other part of the relationship, the person, is going to deal with their heart. And I said, "I don't know about them, but I know the Lord. And I know we can put our confidence in him, in the Lord. And that God wants to work in this, and God wants to bring obedience to anyone in their life, to honor him, whether it be first faith in Christ, or whether it be walking with Christ, or being obedient is what God has called you to be." That's what Paul is saying. He said, you know, it's a great statement. "My confidence is in the Lord that you'll continue to do what the word of God commands," basically. Very similar to what he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. If you want to look back there with me, it's very similar to what he said back then when he was talking to them. Chapter 4, verse 1 and 2 of 1 Thessalonians says, "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord that as you received from us instructions on how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel still more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ." And then he says in verse 3, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification." Pretty amazing in what he's talking about. Now, Paul commands and instructions, like I said, because he's an apostle. They are the word of God. That's why what we teach when we teach from the pulpit, when we teach in class, we teach what God's word says. Not what I say, not what you want to be said. I have no authority to command you to do anything. The word of God does. And so when you teach the truth of God's word, the word of God commands you, it calls you, it summons you to live a certain way, it encourages you, it admonishes you, it corrects you, right? It's 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, you know, those verses that we know, because that's where the authority lies. And so when Paul's saying, do what I, you know, what they've commanded, it's because it's the word of God. And God's word has authority to command us, to tell us what to do, and we're to be obedient to it. So we're to understand this verse as the apostles' confidence in the Lord that you will obey and continue to obey the word of God. So the heart cry of Paul, the heart cry of us to anyone we are seeking to love and giving ourselves of, is to obey God's word. Would you guys say that's a great heart cry? Would you guys say that's an important heart cry? That we share all the time, that we talk about all the time, that we're, you know, I wish we had the authority to command it and make people do it, that kind of thing. But God's word says the path of life, the life that God has for us, is about being obedient to his word. There isn't another path. Many people try it. Many people thought there's a different one. There's not another one. It's this one, and that's why God says we need to obey his word. And our confidence is in the Lord and his relationship with the people. Not us, not what we do, not what I said. Our confidence is in the Lord's relationship with the people we talk to, or in my life and my relationship with him, that God is going to help me obey his commands. And we know it's needed, this heart cry. You guys agree? Everyone in the room, we know that it's needed. For we see many, many, many of us and others struggle to be obedient to God's word. That's the reality. I've been doing this long enough, preaching over 15 years, ministering for 20. I've seen it long enough. I know my own heart. I know my own life. We need a heart cry to each other to obey God's word. And to be convinced, to have confidence that the Lord will work in our lives, the Lord will work in each other's lives, that we'll continue to do, to work on being obedient to God's word. It's an important thing, important heart cry, important thing to for us to call out. We know that we struggle to be obedient to God's word. That's one reason we give our lives away, isn't it? Isn't that why we give our lives away to our family and friends and neighbors and go the extra mile and do those kind of things? Maybe it's first for them to be obedient to the call of God in the gospel. Maybe it's to encourage them, love them, share with them that that's the path of life. We're giving our lives away in loving other people, promoting that we would follow the Lord, we would trust the Lord, for we know the Lord can bring our loved ones to obedience of his word. We give of ourselves in strong affections for others, so the Lord, if he wills, would use it to encourage others' obedience. That's one of the main reasons why we honor the Lord's instruction. You guys remember what Jesus said in Matthew 28 and 20, where he said, I'll kind of paraphrase it a little bit, that we are to be teaching disciples. That's followers of Christ. Make disciples, baptize them, then teach disciples. Those are the followers of Christ. To observe. To observe means to do. It's not mean to know it, reserve it. Oh, I observe that we're so, you know, I observe that we're supposed to, these are the things we live. That word doesn't mean just to know it. It means to do it. So an important thing and that's been on my heart also for the last couple of weeks that somewhere a pastor was sharing, and he was talking about knowing God. And he was talking about Bible studies and studying the Word of God and studying your Bible. And, you know, and you can know all about God. You can know all about your salvation. You can know all about your walk with the Lord. You can know all about the, you know, what God has for you and the promises of God and all those kind of things. And it's good, and we should know our Bibles, but if you want to know God, you have to be obedient to his word. He said, you know, know the whole Bible, you're not going to know God if you're not obedient to it. You won't know how he works in the things in your life. You won't know the relationship aspect of it. I'm convinced that's true. I know that to be true in my own life. My growing and my understanding and relationship with the Lord and my life with him is through, maybe it's perseverance, that I'm trying to be obedient, persevering through some things, and he's with me and walking with me and those kind of things. Because it's more, we should know about him. We should know the truth of God's word. We should know what God's word says, but we need to know him. And so that comes from obedience. Maybe that's some of the struggle that we have, is because we know a lot about it, but we don't really be obedient, so we really don't know him. We don't know how he shows up. We don't know how he walks us through. We don't know how he rescues us or provides us a way of escape from the temptations in our life. We don't know how God is so much for us that how could anything be against us? We don't know the things because it's not through the struggle of being obedient to what he has to say. It's just I know about him. And so the heart cry here isn't about it's not about just knowing God. It's about him. It's about knowing him, and it comes through obedience. And I understand what the Apostle Paul and this heart cry is behind all of this. And that's why Jesus, when he told his disciples, when you make disciples, teach your disciples to follow Christ, to observe all that I have commanded. That's the crux behind the teaching of God's word. For you to observe what God's word has said, that means that you apply it, you do it, you believe it, you trust it, those kind of things. There's an action in it. And that's what the cry is. That's what Paul is in talking to the church and what he's saying. I'm confident in the Lord that you're going to just keep continually seeking to obey what God's word, basically, truthfully. Because that's what the Lord wants to do in each and every one of our hearts. Because the Lord gave himself to the point of death, the death on the cross. Could any of you give yourself more than he gave himself? Right? For you to have a relationship with him so you could walk the path of life that he has for us, and it's laid out, it's in his word, and it's called being obedient to the path. This is so important for us to grab hold today. And also why we encourage other believers with, like, Philippians chapter 2. It's all through the Word of God. I just picked some out. But we encourage other believers with what, like Paul did in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. It says, "So then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." Interesting, if you just kind of pull that apart a little bit, listen to what he's saying. He's saying, listen, obeying God's word is exercising your salvation in reverential fear and honor and respect of the Lord. For it is God at work in your life. You need to have some reverential fear. God's at work in your life. And if you're just disobedient, you're just not applying God's word, you're just not living it, the Lord that saved you, the God that loves you, you should have a reverential fear, for he's at work in you to will and to work for his good pleasure. It's about his will, not my will or your will. And so we talk about that. We encourage each other with these things about the truth of God's word. For God is at work in your life, and he has a definitive will for you and is at work bringing it about. So obey his word. And also we share with each other what God says about not obeying his word. You guys there in 2 Thessalonians, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. We talk about that, about not obeying God's word. I said it was ruin, it leads to ruin, but I want you to just listen to one verse here. 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 4, verse 8. And I read you verse 1 and 2 earlier. I read you verse 1 and 2 earlier about, you know, finally, brethren, we exhort you and request of you that you received our instructions on how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do. That you excel still more. You know what we've commanded you give you by the authority of the Lord, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. He goes on to explain it. Then in verse 8, he says this, "So he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you." You know, teaching God's word, Pastor Tom, right, Pastor Brent, up here teaching God's word, what it has to say and all that, and you're not rejecting what I had to say. You're not obedient to it. Has nothing to do with me. You're rejecting the God that wrote the word, that gave us the word, that's talking to our lives. You're not rejecting me. You're rejecting him. The only reason you can reject me if I don't teach what he has to say. Well, then the elders need to get me get down, because that's not what this is about. But if you reject what God has to say, what he says in his word about being obedient to his word and what he's calling us to do, it says it right there, you're rejecting the God who gave you the Holy Spirit in you. The Holy Spirit isn't telling you to reject what God's truth says. He's not telling you, you don't have to obey God's word. He's not doing that. Or we encourage each other in the battle for the truth, to obey the truth. It's a battle, isn't it? Wouldn't you guys agree? Lots of smiles this morning. It's a battle. That's the reality of it. We encourage. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says we are to be taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, evaluating our actions and our thoughts, if they are being obedient or disobedient to the Lord. In the midst of everything you got going on, that's one thing that God wants you to do. You know God's word and how he wants us to live and the truth of his good word and obey it. And in the midst of the struggle, in the midst of the challenge, in the midst of things, am I taking every thought captive to the true obedience of Christ? Or am I going this way because this feels better, or I have vengeance in my life, or I have fear, or I have doubt, whatever it might be, right? So this is God in helping us obey his word in that way. For all of us know, or should know, that the blessings of God upon our lives, upon your relationships you have in this life, of peace, joy, contentment, reconciliation, many, many more things, come from obedience to his word. They don't come any other way. They don't come any other way. They come from obedience to his word. Listen to this. One of the greatest forms of love would be to give of yourself to help, to encourage, to promote others' obedience to the word of God. That's true love. Kids, I want you to look at me. All you kids that are here, get your hands up. Do you know why your parents try to teach you what God's word says and how we're to learn how to obey God's word? Because they love you and they're giving of themselves. They know the truth. They know the truth, that's what they want you to grab hold of, that's what they want you to understand. I know you're young and just learning that, and sometimes it feels like you're just obeying it so you quit bothering mom and dad, all the things that you go through. but they love you and they're going to give of themselves, they're going to give of their life to help you understand what it means to be obedient to God's word and how that really lives out. They're going to give all of themselves. That's how important it is. Church family, that's what we do, right? We give all of ourselves to each other. That's what we do to our families, friends, because it's that important. Listen, in your walk with Christ, you should be convinced. You should be convinced of this truth in 1 Peter 1:14 through 15. Why don't you turn your Bibles there? I think you should be convinced of the truth that's in 1 Peter 1:14 and 15. That this is true. What Peter says here, right here in these two verses. It's just the reality that I'm going to live. Sounds like we found our place. Listen to what Peter wrote. Verse 14. As obedient children. Now you can flip that in the original language. As children of obedience. Do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourself also in all your behavior. Let me help you with the word holy. Sometimes we struggle with holy. Hey, we're going to be holy. Holy is set apart. Set apart unto God. God in your salvation consecrated you, set you apart unto him to worship him, to glorify him, to honor him. This is to be set apart unto God in all your behavior. It's called the process of sanctification. It's called the process of sanctification, for you to be set apart, holy, in all your behavior. I'm still working on it. I think my family says, thank goodness, Grandpa, Papa's working on it still, because he needs to be a little more holy. But it's called sanctification. Sanctification comes into our lives from obedience to God's word. Period. You are not going to change and become more like Christ by doing it your own way. You're going to have to submit yourself to what God has to say. You're not going to be set apart more and more and more unto the Lord in all your behavior until you start obeying God's word, applying what you hear, applying from the men of faith group what you're taught, applying from the Bible study what you're taught, applying from Sunday school, applying from your old reading, self-confrontation 101, right, guys? It's about obeying God's word. It's about applying it to your life. It's the truth of God's word. This is what it is. You, sanctification comes from that. It's by the work of God, the power of God, from obedience to his word. Let's submit. Listen to this. Disobedience, ignoring God's word. I don't have to live God's word. It didn't really mean that much to me. I don't think I'm suffering that much. I don't think it's a big deal. Disobedience conforms you more and more to your lust. It shapes you of what you are like in your ignorance. That's what he just said. That is true. That is true. You hear God's word taught, how to apply it, how to live it. You keep ignoring it or not doing it. What is happening in your heart and mind is you're being shaped by your disobedience in your lust. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Your character is. God can rescue anything. God can change anything. But Peter's talking about that. That's why he says, we're obedient children, children of obedience. Don't be conformed, shaped by your former lusts, which were in your ignorance. But pursue sanctification, be set apart in your life. It's the thing of life that he's talking about. How long do we have to go to be convinced that that's true? How long do we have to go to be convinced that that's true? Because God's going to show it to you. He will. He'll convince you of it at some point. That's why the heart cried to obey. Look at Romans 6 with me, just starting in verse 16. We're just kind of digging into the topic here of obeying God's word and the call to obey God's word. Look at Romans 6 with me. The word of God calls us to obey his word. I'm just taking that cry and talking about being obedient to God's word. Look at Romans 6, starting in verse 16 with me. We'll go a little deeper. Paul writes into the Romans, verse 16, writes, do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness. Do you not know it's sarcastic? It's that in the language. Like, you're supposed to know this. Do you not know? Do you not know if you present yourselves to sin as slaves of obedience, you are slaves to the one you obey? If you're obeying sin, you're a slave to sin. You're just obeying it. It's just what you obey. That's what he's talking about. If you obey sin, you have no life of God. It says, if you obey Christ, you have life. Look at verse 17. He says this, but thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. Did you hear what he just said there? The form of teaching is the truth of the gospel, the truth of Christ. It's doctrine. It's the reality, the truth of Christ. You became obedient to the truth of God's truth, of the doctrine of Christ from the heart. You're committed to it, is what he said. Why? Verse 18, look at why. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. That's the transformed life. That's the transformed life, the new life in Christ. Your new life only desires to live righteously. How? By obeying God's word. It never goes to something else. It doesn't go to attending church. It doesn't go to tithing or giving to the work of the ministry. It doesn't go to any of that. It goes to obeying God's word. Now, those are in the word of God on how he would call us to be obedient, but it's about obeying his word. It's not complicated, is it? Anybody think it's complicated? It's just really hard, huh? But that it's hard makes you trust in the Lord and dependent upon him, which was the whole point anyway. You wouldn't need him if it was easy. You wouldn't talk to him. You wouldn't trust him. You wouldn't look to him. You wouldn't anything. This is about you and your relationship with him. And he's at work in it. And obedience to his word is so important. Look at verse 19 through 22. Look what he said here. You got to love this. Paul says, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. That helps me. How about you? Speak to me in human terms because I got a weak flesh, okay? Right? Well, sometimes it's really strong because it's dictating my life. But this, I get what he means here. For just as you present your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. You couldn't live it anyway, so you're free to it. Therefore, what benefit were you then deriving from the thing of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. That's when you were a slave to sin, you're free just to live sinful and not live righteous. What benefit was that? That had no benefit. You're ashamed of that. It's just no life. Verse 22, but now having been freed from sin and a slave to God, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. That's so clear, isn't it? That's not complicated. That's really clear. You present your life to not obeying God's word, sin. It leads to further lawlessness. The outcome is death, meaning no life at all. That's not complicated, is it? You can try to prove God wrong. I know a lot of people that do, that continue to do, and say, it ain't going to work that out way for me. I'm going to scapegoat that. I'm not going to get there. That's not going to happen. I just need to tell you, repent. Nobody's proved God wrong. Nobody. You present your life to obeying God's word, not perfectly, never perfectly. It's about what you pursue. It brings sanctification. The outcome is the life God desires for you, the life Christ died for. He gave of himself to give you, are all tied to obedience to God's word, which is you're to be committed from the heart to. This isn't hard, it's not, but it's a heart cry. One more passage, and we'll close with this to help us with the heart cry. From those that love us, to hear the heart cry of God, who loves us most, to obey his word. Turn to James, James chapter 1. Turn to James chapter 1. And I got a couple of things to say before we look at that, because I want to speak to you about some things really on my heart. We've heard all these verses many, many times. Most of us have heard these verses. They've been shared with us, or we went through them. Nothing really new here or unfamiliar. Maybe they are to you. You know, that's okay. God speaks through his word, but most of us are pretty familiar with these. But my prayer and my hope today, as we've went through this, is that you'll hear the heart cry of love behind them. Because obedience is a weird thing with us. It's not a weird thing. What's the right word? What was that word that you used, Jody, that we're kind of today when we're just kind of built that way? What was that word you used? We're hardwired that way. Obedience just seems to be like dictating something to us, like taking away our independence. Slaves of sin are independent to do nothing other than sin. That's it. They're dictated, hardwired to do sin and sin alone. There is no unsaved person, unbeliever, that's not a slave to sin. And so they're hardwired that way. They're just everything slave. They might do something good, this is nice, or that kind of thing, but it's all enslaved to sin. When you got saved, when you're born again, regenerated, made new, in Christ, you were set free. You were set free from sin's bondage. Now you have the freedom to decide. You're going to choose God's way, love God, or you're going to serve self, going to serve flesh, going to choose. You have the ability to choose now. God asks every believer, asks all the Christians to choose to love God in this life. This is the only opportunity you're ever going to get to choose to love God. In heaven, you'll do it perfectly. It won't even be a thought. It will be your complete action. You'll do it naturally, regularly. There is no sin. There's no choice in heaven to choose whether you're going to sin, serve self, or serve God or love God. This is the only choice time you get, and it's short, right? The heart cry of love behind this is what we want to hear today about being obedient. It's not trying to dictate in the sense or take away your independence and all the things we see. It's the most loving thing God could do to us, just like you parents, just like you friends, you spouses, to your neighbors. It's the most loving thing to give of yourself so someone will obey Christ, walk with Christ, obey God's word. It's the most loving thing God ever did. It's a hard cry of love behind it. Don't let the devil deceive you or let your flesh deceive you. It's the most loving thing God could ever do, is to give up himself in a hard cry to pierce your heart with the truth so you would obey the gospel. It's not against you, it's for you. Look at James with me, chapter 1, verse 21. You there with me? Here's what James says about this. He says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility you receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. First, you have to choose to set aside wickedness, evil things. You got to set them aside. All of those things, I'm just going to set them aside. Not going to be part of my life. You're going to have to keep doing that. It's not a one-time deal. But listen to what he says. And the word of God, its truth, has already taken root in your life. It's already taken root in the life of the believer. That's implanted at salvation. Okay, this is what he's talking about. To continually receive the truth of God's word, you are to allow God's word to direct and control your life. That's receiving. That's what he's saying. In humility, receive the word implanted. It's already taken root in your life. It's the truth of God. The Holy Spirit speaks it to you all the time. And he says if you want to continually receive it, then you need to let it dictate and direct and lead your life. It's the Holy Spirit through the God's truth leading and directing your life. Do this in humility, he says. To allow God's word to direct your lives in humility means receiving God's word in submissiveness and a teachable spirit. It's the opposite of prideful. It's the opposite of prideful. All right, well, that's what God says. I need to learn that, be taught that, not like, no, he's just trying to make me do this, and I don't want to do that. You understand what I'm talking about. Listen to the rest of the verses. But prove yourselves to be doers of the word, and as you listen to the rest of the verses, hear the contrast between humility and pride. But prove yourselves to be doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is not a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, for once he has looked. Let me read it again. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror, for once he's looked at it, once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. When you look in a mirror, what do you see? We can say a lot of funny things right now, right? What do you see when you look in a mirror? What do you see? I see a man that God gave mercy to and saved him by his grace. I see a man who has a transformed life that can pursue Christ-likeness through obedience to God's word. I also see my old self, my flesh, that if not denied, will force me to live for self. I don't want to ever not see that man in the mirror. I don't want to walk away and forget that that man's there. God rescued me from that man. He rescued me from that man by obedience to his word. He will always rescue me from that man by obedience to his word. If you've forgotten who you are, or you don't think you're that person in that mirror, you need to go to God. Because everybody in that room is that person. Every single one of us is that person that has received mercy and grace, that's been given a transformed life, that can pursue Christ-likeness through the obedience of God's word. But there's an old self in the flesh there that if it's not denied, will force you to live for self. And God will allow it. He'll allow it. He'll allow destruction to come in your life. So you know him, not just about him. Look at verse 25. But the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, that's the word of God, that, right? Look intently. You would understanding the truth of God's word and abides by it. Not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. Amen, right? Amen, right? That's the promise. That's why the call. That's why the heart cry. We want to hear the heart cry of the Lord today for us to obey and continue to obey God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for just